Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. Happy New Year! This week's message is titled The Glory of the Lord. Thank you to Earl, Julie, and Dawn for sharing your thoughts. The scripture reading is Psalm 24, 1 through 10.
Good morning, and welcome. This morning with a few announcements. Happy birthday. Well, there's some birthdays. So the joke is my birthday was this past Tuesday, December 21st, the darkest day of the year. I was born. Yes, the beginning of winter. So we're on the, you know, we've crossed that hump. Now it's optimism and light as we continue. So birthdays this week. Rebecca has a birthday, and Happy has a birthday. And Ed and Rhonda, I know Ed, it was just whack in the old days. It was for tax purposes only that he got married at the end of the year. So their anniversary this week. Our annual meeting is scheduled for January 30th. And draft budgets will be available next week. And if you please submit 2021 receipts before January 15th. If there are any receipts outstanding, if you've purchased anything for anything that you're involved in, then please get that to Adam by January 15th. Next Sunday, communion will be early in the service. And the sermon will be near the end, so just a little bit of a change there. This morning's reading is from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Let's worship God together.
Merry Christmas, everyone. My sweet and lovely wife gave me a Christmas card, and I wanted to share it with you. I want to talk about the glory of the Lord. Here's the Christmas card. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And inside the card it says, Christmas is so much more than just another day. It celebrates the most beautiful event in history, when God was born into our world. And because of that, his love, joy, hope, and peace can truly live in our hearts today. Happy celebration of the beautiful day when heaven came to earth. And then she says some personal things that I won't read. Let's just spend a little bit of time talking about the glory of the Lord. And I hope that you've had a glorious Christmas. And if Christmas is still coming, then I hope that you will enjoy it. The word glory itself is not a word that we use very often. And here are different words that attach themselves to glory. Glory means praise, honor, distinction, thanksgiving, adoration, renown, magnificence, resplendence, happiness, blessings from heaven. And there are, as we know, a variety of ways to worship. Mary worshiped, and it turns out to become a song, the Magnificat, and other people worship. So to begin, I'd like us to hear the word of the Lord. I'd like to read a little bit lengthy, Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26 and going all the way to verse 56. It's a story that you know well. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne over the house of David, of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." And Mary asks, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was told to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And I think that's a promise for us too. Blessed are those of us who believe that what the Lord says to us is true. And then there's Mary's song. Mary said, she speaks it, turns into what's called the Magnificat, of course. "My soul glorifies the Lord." We're talking about the glory of the Lord today. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear or revere him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their most inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he told our fathers." And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Glory of the Lord. Many people worshiped at the birth of Jesus. Simeon worshiped, knowing that he had seen the Christ. Here's what Luke 2, 25 through 32 says. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, And the Spirit is very involved in the story of Christ, of course. Simeon went into the temple courts. When Joseph and Mary brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory of your people, Israel." One of the challenges, I think, at Christmas is leaving the Christ child in the manger. As we know, Christ is God in the flesh, and he lives in us to the extent that we invite him in and that we welcome him and love him as he loves us. And over the years, many of us have tried doing a variety of things at Christmas, keeping Christ at the center. And it just in my own mind, and it's not a big deal, and many of you probably do this too, if you have presents, gifts wrapped under the tree, and the lights are there, and there's this Christmas tree, and there's all these gifts, these wonderful gifts, I'd like to think of the gifts God continually gives us. Not just at Christmas time, but every day, the gifts of safety, the gifts of health, and even times when we're in trouble, it's the gift of being in trouble to help us turn our hearts back to God. Does that make sense? Sometimes when things are rough, we just need that time to let God show himself to us as if he hasn't showed himself before. Of course he has, over and over and again. And the gift at Christmas is an ongoing gift throughout the year. So it's remembering this Christ child always. So there, our Hebrew writer, we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the writer talks about the glory of God. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of everything, all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. Somehow, if anyone could ever, and no one could, if anyone could have ever reached down into history and take Jesus out of the picture, nothing would exist. Nothing. Everything that has been made, he made. Take Jesus out of the picture, nothing. There is nothing. Keeping Christ at the center, there is everything that we have not totally experienced yet, but will someday. This is called the glory of the Lord. There's more glory to come. Beautiful scriptures that adorn us with glory. Colossians 1, listen to these words. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And then later it says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, to reconcile to himself all things on earth." Interesting. To reconcile to himself all things, everything, all things on earth and things in heaven by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And again, John 1:14, the Word, meaning Jesus, became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, and the glory of the one and the only who came from the Father, full of grace, full of truth. Notice how often in these readings, this word is used over and over again. All things, fully, completely, totally. Never a gap in Christ. And then in the Revelation, of course, John, he's going to talk about this, says this in Revelation 5:13. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth. That's a lot. Then I heard every creature in heaven. Think about Genesis and the beginning of all things. And then the population exploding from the beginning of time right up until now. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and on the sea and all that's in them singing. Now that would be a choir. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, Jesus, be praise and honor and glory and power, not just at Christmas time, but forever. This is a brief message today, and I want to conclude by reading an interesting article. The glory of the Lord is demonstrated in a variety of ways. And some of you have found that this year. Some have lost loved ones, and yet the presence is always with us. There is this glory of the Lord coming close to us, gently hugging us, feeling close to one another. As when our babies are upset, they just need some tender, loving care. And we are God's children. And at Christmas time, we feel that warmth, or at least we can. Maybe greater than any other time, this wonderful babe of Christ who was born, who now lives in us and through us forever and forever. This article I want to read to you is a true story. It's written by John Blue, and it was written a long time ago. It was written in December 1950. This was his experience. When 19 years old and just out of school, I packed a sledge one day in preparation for a trip some 500 miles north of Dawson up in the Yukon. This was to be the first Christmas I had ever spent alone and my most hazardous journey in the dead of winter. My objective was to chart a ledge that was only partially indicated on a crude map drawn 2 years previously. The markings on the map were reliable, but I hardly anticipated the variety of hazards ahead. The trail was over ice and snow, frozen rivers and lakes, steep grades and rock hills. I knew I could expect blizzards, hungry wildlife, and the peril of food shortage if delayed for any length of time. I have never started on a trip of this type without talking straight to God, making it clear what my mission is, and asking his divine protection for both myself and my dogs. I believe his help can come while I'm on the run or when in church, if the prayer is honest and sincere. So on December 24th, 1908, I was camped about 250 miles out of Dawson in a desolate, moonlit spot with nothing but snow-covered mountains in the distance and the dogs by my side. The weather had been fine and the going good, all of which made me deeply grateful. While preparing my Christmas Eve meal of tea and bacon over the pitch stick fire, I thought of my family, thousands of miles away, gathered around the fireplace with Christmas gifts under the tree. I could see the faces and guess much of the talk that was going on. I also knew that Mother was thinking just as strongly about me and my progress as I was of her and the rest of the family. It seemed as if I could hear her prayer. I straightened up and said, God, you are being good to me and my dogs. I know you will comfort mother in her thoughts and let her know that I'm all right and I'm not lonely or cold, even though I'm far away. I was startled from my thoughts by a hissing sound in the distance. In seconds, the hisses changed to sharp, crackling reports. I looked around quickly as the sounds grew louder. I saw the sky begin to brighten in the north. Multicolored shafts of light shot skyward. The glory of it took my breath away. It was the Aurora Borealis in full splendor. There I was with a reserved seat at a private showing of the greatest Christmas pageant one could ever hope to see. All the colors of the rainbow reflected on the snow-covered mountains and flickered over the smooth, snowy surface. It had the effect of a magnificent, shimmering oriental rug. Just then, the dogs began to growl. They were tense. They stood as still as iron statues. I scanned the horizon. There, coming toward us from the distance, was a pack of wolves. All the beauty was suddenly blacked out in the thought of self-preservation. I knew my dogs and I were windward from the pack. I hoped the brilliant lights would distract the wolves from seeing us too easily, but for how long? To my dismay, the wolves formed a large circle about 100 yards in front of us. I could count them, 14 hungry wolves. Then the leader of the pack took his place in the center of that sitting circle, and he began to howl to the moon. Soon, there was a full chorus of 14 wolves howling, hardly symphonic voices, but singing to the sky. For over an hour, this howling kept up as my tension mounted. Then as the Aurora Borealis began to sink back into the northern earth, the leader of the pack abruptly stopped his howling, turned, and started back in the direction from which they had come, and the others all filed behind him. I was, to say the least, relieved and very puzzled, and so in awe that I could hardly believe what I had seen. Had the wolves put on a worship service for my benefit? I haven't heard a church bell ring since that doesn't remind me of this, my most spectacular Christmas experience. Yep, I know what the glory of the Lord is. Amen.
When my children were young, I didn't have a nativity set to put out at Christmas, but I wanted one. I wanted my kids to know that Christmas was more about the birth of Jesus than the other characters that we're familiar with, like Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph and Santa. So I used picture storybooks to help them understand the nativity story, and I started to buy various pieces that I thought would eventually come together to be a little nativity scene that we could focus on at Christmas. Of course, the first thing I bought was the little baby Jesus. I didn't have a little stable to put him in or other little figures to stand around and look at him in awe. All I had was the little baby to begin with. So I placed him in our Christmas tree. And without meaning to, a little tradition was kind of born at our house. I decorate the tree and set baby Jesus on one of the branches. And then my kids, Becky and Jamie, they would go looking for baby Jesus. Nothing thrills a mother's heart more than hearing their child say, I found him. I found Jesus. Well, that's a bit of silliness, really. Finding Jesus and knowing Jesus are two different things. The important thing is to know Jesus and accept what he offers us. Because He came to this earth for a reason, and that reason was made crystal clear by God long before Jesus was born. I'd like to take us back to the song that we heard when we were first entering into the sanctuary, the song, O Come, Emmanuel, was playing. And if you'll remember, that song harkens back to a time when Israel was longing for a Savior and praying fervently for Emmanuel to come. Jesus had many names, but in Isaiah, his coming is prophesied using these words. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the prophet writes, "Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." A promise is made, a vow from God reaffirming that all is not lost. He hasn't forgotten his people. He's sending his son, who will be born as a baby, a real, live, flesh and blood child, who will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so time rolls on, and God's people wait. The faithful continue to read the scriptures of the law and the prophets, and they know God promised them a child will come, and he will be God with us. The faithful remnant keeps faith and waits. 7 centuries go by, and Joseph finds Mary, his wife-to-be, with child, and is understandably thrown by this. He's a simple man, betrothed to a young woman from a fine family. Has she betrayed him? Broken faith? What is he supposed to do now? Maybe he should quietly break the engagement and be free of her and this baby that isn't his. But an angel from God visits him in a dream and sets him straight. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, we read, "But while Joseph thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for he who is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins.'" And then the writer, Matthew, adds a little editorial bit in verses 22 and 23. He says, "Now all of this occurred to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, saying, 'A virgin shall be with child and will bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is interpreted, 'God with us.'" Joseph's world is shaken. If he had dreamed of a simple carpenter's life, building furniture and laying low while King Herod and the Romans wreaked havoc all over Israel, all of that has changed when the angel tells him that he and Mary are about to become key players in God's plan for the coming Savior. I'm sure that the words of the angel reverberate in his mind over and over. "This child has been conceived of the Holy Spirit and will grow up to save the people from their sins." Joseph knew the scriptures. He knew what that meant, and I'm sure that his mind was blown. This child would be Emmanuel, God with us. This child would be God with us. Joseph's entire life takes on new meaning, and he realizes that he's going to be responsible for this child, who will be known as Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God on high, the Savior of the world. But for now, the angel instructs, let's just call him Jesus. A name with meaning for certain. It means God saves. But in its Hebrew form, Yeshua or Joshua, it's a common name and a common message. Baby Jesus can fly under the radar for a little while with a name that isn't quite as distinctive as Emmanuel. But he'll grow into that name. The thing is, Jesus was born into a world that was far more dangerous and evil than the one that we now occupy. On the night he was born, a battle in the heavenly realms was waged, and God overcame evil. Eventually, Herod sent out his soldiers to kill every boy child in and around the same age as Jesus. But Joseph got out of Dodge, so to speak, and he hid his little family in Egypt until it was time to bring Jesus back to Israel. And the whole world changed. Oh, there's still evil in this world, and we still have the choice between good and evil. But until the spread of Christianity, the world outside Judaism believed that the divine was stern and distant, cruel and despotic, demanding and unreasonable. Until the gospel of Jesus Christ was brought to the masses, most of humanity had no idea that God would want to be friends with us, let alone live in our hearts. Jesus gave up so much when he came to earth and put his faith in Mary and Joseph to protect his vulnerable little baby self until he was old enough to really take his place in this world. And even as a young man, he continued to put faith in people, knowing that we all have the potential to return his love and faith in us, knowing that his message was really an invitation to all of us to enter into relationship with him, to accept his gift of salvation and be free of the shackles of sin. And the amazing thing is that Jesus, that little baby, did grow into his more meaningful name, Emmanuel, God with us. He was born of a virgin, protected and raised by a carpenter, grew in stature and wisdom and in favor with God and man, became a great teacher and a friend to many, then sacrificed his life taking on the sins of the world so that we all might be forgiven. He overcame death on a cross and rose again to new life so that we would all know that he continues to be Emmanuel, God with us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for these emblems that remind us of your body broken for us and your blood spilled for us, that we might be forgiven and forever be welcome at your table. Please help us to recognize the greatness of everything that you've done for us and your willingness to walk with us every day. We thank you for all these blessings and enter this new week knowing that you are with us. It is only by the name of Jesus that we are able to approach your throne, and for this we give you all the praise. Amen.
The power of the Lord. We appreciate Don's sermon and the power of the Creator to plan that his Son would come into this world to redeem us. A lot of things came together for me. Thank you, Julie, for your eloquent thoughts, for your preparation and putting those thoughts together. That took a lot of time, and we thank you. I hearken back. I had a birthday, right? I hearken back, though. I'm 64. And when I was 4 years old, an elderly lady in our congregation in Toronto, and I don't remember this, but she presented a gift to me at this time of year. And through my mother, I was told that it's an angel. So all of the angels and the discussion of the angels, hear the angel's voice in the song we just sang. So I'm sitting over there thinking, putting all these things together in my own life. The reality is that this elderly lady gave me an angel for the top of the Christmas tree. And we still use it in our house. 60 years, we've been putting it at the top of the Christmas tree. But really, what she was saying to my mother, who related to me, was it was the angels that told Mary she was going to have this baby who would become the Messiah, who would grow into it and redeem mankind. So I kind of tell my grandkids, I'm thinking of that because we're meeting today at our place and the presents are under the tree. But I need to remind them of the angel. I need to point that out to them. So thank you for the remembrance and for the reminder to me this morning. And I pray that you will have a good time with friends and family. Of course, a safe time with friends and family. But that we have all been reminded this morning of the real reason for this season and the love and the divine nature that it was really all about. So we thank each one for their participation this morning, and we pray that you will go with God and have a good week. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity of being here together this morning. We thank you for the love that prompted you to send Jesus into this world. We thank you that he took it upon himself to live a life here on earth, that he set an example for us all to live. We pray that you will help us this week to follow that example and to radiate your love for mankind as we meet this week. We pray, Father, that you will help us to recognize the great price that was paid for our salvation. We thank you for the redemptive power of Christ's blood. We thank you, Jesus, for coming into this world. We thank you for the life of example, and we pray that you'll help us live this week for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.